Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, and I just want to start this podcast off by saying thank you very much for being a loyal listener. And if you haven't subscribed to us yet, don't forget to go over to iTunes and subscribe to us. If you like the show, leave us a good review. And if you don't have an Apple product, or you don't have an iPad or an iPhone or whatever, you can download us on Stitcher. Stitcher is the application for Androids that you can use in order to get our podcast every single day, and we really appreciate you supporting the LibertarianRepublic.com news site. But today we're going to be talking about some very exciting news coming out of Ferguson, Missouri, where most of the news has been bad in recent days after the shooting death of Michael Brown by a police officer. Michael Brown was an unarmed African-American man who was allegedly running away from police while not carrying a weapon and was shot and killed. Police in Ferguson, Missouri have been delaying the release of the man's name because of death threats, but it appears as if today will be the day that they will actually name that officer. And there have been some riots and some looting in the aftermath of that tragic event, which has sort of galvanized the country and created a sort of a national news cycle, which has focused on this story and brought out a lot of opinions from all sides of the spectrum. But one of the stories that stuck out in this news cycle was the one from the Washington Post, which we're going to read another article from the Washington Post this morning, but was an article that came out a couple of days ago that basically pointed a finger at libertarians and said, why aren't libertarians saying anything about, why aren't they saying anything about the shootings in Ferguson, Missouri? And it was kind of shocking because obviously Reason Magazine had printed several pieces, which is the kind of the mainstay libertarian magazine. And the Libertarian Republic and our sister site, Liberty Viral, have been covering this story from top to bottom as much as we could. And there are other major libertarian news magazines out there that are covering this as well. So I thought it was just curious that they would cover it like this. And, you know, obviously some of the other libertarian writers wrote some pieces. People like Andrew Carell, who's the editor-in-chief of Mediaite, wrote a piece rebutting that. But it appears that Senator Rand Paul also decided to weigh in. He's sort of seen as the icon of the libertarian movement at this moment, for better or for worse, in some people's opinions. But I am a big supporter of Rand Paul, and I think that he's doing a fantastic job, especially because he's very responsive to things like this. And so what do we have here but this morning in the Washington Post, on the front page no less, but a story that says libertarians make their voices heard on police in Ferguson, Missouri. Very exciting. But before I get into the politics of this, I want to talk about the people. I want to talk about the real life aspect, because I think that's actually more important than the politics of this, and I think that that's what we should be talking about, really, because that's being respectful to the people who are suffering and the people who are putting their lives on the line in this protest. And this actually is a story from Liberty Viral this morning that we published. I hope you'll check that out. The government in Ferguson tried respecting civil liberties. And guess what happened? This is basically coverage of another Washington Post article where a stunning change happened overnight in Ferguson after the government took a different approach to people's civil liberties in the area. Gone were the SWAT trucks and snipers. Gone were the riot shields and militaristic outfits. Gone was the hostility. And guess what? Gone was the violence. Yesterday, the Missouri Highway Patrol was given responsibility over the area. Patrol Captain Ronald S. Johnson, who is a Ferguson native, marched in front of the crowd and set clear priorities for the marchers, which respected their civil liberties. Governor Jay Nixon had vowed to take a different approach to the event, which has spurred national interest after police were caught tear gassing and arresting reporters. Captain Johnson said, "When I see a young lady cry because of fear of this uniform, that's a problem. We've got to solve that." Johnson vowed not to blockade the street. He went so far as to set up a staging center for the media. The officers were careful to ensure that the residents had the right to assemble, and the police were told to take off their gas masks while working crowd control. Now, isn't that incredible? The Washington Post reported when one man asked Captain Johnson what he would say to his little niece who was tear-gassed, Johnson replied, "Tell her Captain Johnson is sorry, and he apologizes." Now, isn't that incredible? You know, it just goes to show that when you take a different tack of people, rather than this militaristic approach, which, you know, Senator Rand Paul complained about in his op-ed, people will behave accordingly. And when I say that, you know, here's a perfect example of it. The guy who was the rally organizer said, you know, he was rallying the crowd and, you know, demanding justice. And then with his megaphone, he said, "They respect us," referring to the police. "So let's respect them. They've given us the sidewalk, so let's stay out of the street." And that, to me, just goes to show that when you respect people and you respect their civil liberties, they will act in kind. And there is no need for this sort of, you know, militaristic response always to these kinds of protests. You know, and you know, a lot of conservatives are sort of, you know, they're usually the type to defend, you know, the law and order style approach to these things, where they, you know, they've been bringing in, you know, microwave LRAD units, which, if you're not familiar, these are basically weapons where they're microwave guns, basically. It's like they point a dish at a crowd and it starts cooking the molecules in your body like a microwave. It's pretty scary stuff. You know, they got snipers sitting on top of trucks with machine guns and sniper rifles. And it's just, to me, it's just terrifying the type of approach that the government had, where they cracked down like that so immediately, you know. And it just goes to show, I think, you know, what has happened as we've seen the rise of the warrior cop in recent years. You know, Radley Balko, who's another Washington Post writer, actually wrote an excellent book on this in recent years. But let's talk about, now that we've covered the civil liberties and the human approach to this, which it seems to be that the violence is tamping down because of this new civil liberties respecting approach, let's talk about the politics of this for a moment, because this is obviously very exciting to see an article from the Washington Post that sort of backhands the person who was arguing that, you know, libertarians, they aren't saying anything about Ferguson. You know, here we are looking at another article that rebuts that this morning. This is by Dan Balz, B-A-L-Z, Balz, in Washington Post. And it starts with, "The killing of 18-year-old Michael Brown by a police officer has produced a rare and surprisingly unified response across the ideological spectrum, with Republicans and Democrats joining to decry the tactics of the city's police force in the face of escalating protests. Most notably, the reactions reflect a shift away from the usual support and sympathy conservatives typically show for law enforcement in such situations. Although possibly unique to the circumstances of the events in Missouri this week, the changing reaction on the right is clear evidence of a rising and more vocal libertarian wing within the Republican Party." No better sign of that came Tuesday than in an article by Senator Rand Paul, which was published in Time magazine. He said, "If I had been told to get out of the street as a teenager, there would have been a distinct possibility that I might have smarted off," he wrote, "but I wouldn't have expected to be shot." In his piece, Paul criticized what he called the growing militarization of local police forces. "There is a legitimate role for the police to keep peace," he wrote, "but there should be a difference between a police response and a military response." Yes, thank you, Senator Paul. He also bluntly pointed out the role that race continues to play in law enforcement. "Anyone who thinks that race does not still, even if inadvertently, skew the application of criminal justice in this country is just not paying close enough attention," he wrote. Stuart Stevens, who's a Republican strategist, said, "It's an interesting left meets right dynamic, and probably Rand Paul is at the center of it. Those people alarmed by the militarization of local police," he said, "are the same people troubled by the widespread surveillance programs of the National Security Agency, or the increasing use of drones as military weapons." Paul is a prospective 2016 candidate and the presidential candidate and the leading proponent of libertarian philosophy among elected officials. In Ferguson, he's found circumstances almost tailor-made to advance his worldview. In doing so, he continues to set himself apart from others in the Republican Party with the hope of expanding the party's coalition and advancing his own political future. In this case, he blames the militarization of local police on big government, and especially Washington's willingness to provide such material to local communities. And I just want to cut that off right there, and I'll continue in just a moment, but that's actually totally true. You know, after the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan has, you know, we're started to wind down, which it looks like we're winding back up in Iraq, unfortunately. But what happened was that the Department of Defense had a program where they just basically giving away these military weapons and materials to local police departments. The perfect example of this are all the APCs, the Armored Personnel Carriers, where you'll see, you know, these machines were created to take a hit from an IED in Iraq, you know. And so what happened was that when these trucks were no longer being used by the military, instead of decommissioning them and selling them for scrap or what have you, they gave them to local police departments. So that's why you see all of these local police departments with these enormous, you know, mine-resistant trucks, you know, looking like the military is policing, you know, our streets here in the United States, which is actually, you know, it's a violation of posse comitatus. If you're not familiar, posse comitatus is the law that says that the military can't perform police functions here, you know, in the United States, in America. But if the police themselves dress up like and use weapons, the same weapons the military are using, well, though, that's okay, as long as they're local police that are using, you know, freaking, you know, LRADs and, you know, microwave guns and all sorts of crazy trucks and stuff. But anyways, let me just move on here. We're talking about race now. His comments on race mark another moment in which he's trying to show an openness to the issues affecting African Americans that sets him apart from others in his party. So very interesting. John Weaver, a Republican strategist, said in an email, "There is a growing concern across the country, and finally, across demographic and ideological lines, of the militarization of local police. The often quick escalation in lieu of law enforcement diffusing a situation, and the erosion of guaranteed rights under the Constitution. The growing libertarian wing of our party is pushing, rightfully, in this direction. The images of police in riot gear with armored vehicles and heavy weaponry firing a tear gas canister at an Al Jazeera camera crew and then putting their lights and camera onto the ground after the crew fled in terror have drawn alarming reactions from the left and right. The rough treatment and detainment of two journalists, Wesley Lowery of the Washington Post and Ryan Riley of the Huffington Post, has added to the public outrage about the Ferguson Police Department's handling of the protests over Brown's killing. For more traditional conservatives who might also join the presidential race in 2016, here come all the hangers-on. He says the events in Ferguson have been a cause for more careful reactions. Yeah, they've got to be careful because these two that we're getting ready to talk about, they've got to be very careful because they are more traditional conservatives, not libertarians. Senator Marco Rubio said, in part, "I'm very concerned by recent events in Ferguson, including the violence that has gripped the community and the inexplicable jailing of two reporters. As the FBI looks into allegations regarding the police department there, I hope Americans all over the country will voice their opinions through peaceful means and not resort to violence." Interesting, Senator Rubio. And Senator Cruz says, the Washington Post says that his conservatism is far different from Paul's. He walked a different line in his written reaction to on Facebook. We called it a tragedy, and he also spoke of the need to protect civil liberties and the right of reporters to cover the news without being intimidated. But isn't this incredible? You know, you look at these two reactions from the more conservative members of the party. Now, admittedly, Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz were sort of still seen as Tea Parties types, and you know, the general population may see them as kind of rogues anyway, not like the traditional conservatives. But don't get me wrong, these guys are traditional conservatives, whereas Senator Marco Rubio is a more traditional establishment neocon conservative, and Senator Ted Cruz is more of a traditional true conservative, anti-establishment, true conservative, Senator Ted Cruz, they both have offered more measured approaches to this that still have a more libertarian bent. And I think that that shows the success of the movement. You know, Rand Paul is playing the anchor role here. And the two senators who admittedly probably have more leeway to speak a little more radically because of their backgrounds, they are being pulled by the anchor that is Senator Rand Paul towards a more civil libertarian message. Whereas before, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they would have never, ever, ever said anything respecting civil liberties other than cops gotta crack down on those protesters, blah blah blah. You know what I mean? And you would have just had a total, you know, domination. Who knows if Senator Rand Paul and these senators and other, you know, these Republicans weren't out there speaking in favor of civil liberties, maybe the government of Missouri wouldn't have started respecting civil liberties as they have. Maybe the pressure from Washington D.C. and these very powerful voices on the right, you know, has kind of, you know, put the fear of God in some of these police actions across the country and the people who are behind them. So I think that this is a very exciting development. Let's move on. Pete Weiner, a White House official during George W. Bush's presidency, he highlighted what has changed within the conservative movement. He says, "Libertarians are reacting as one would anticipate, but there are more libertarian voices within the Republican Party today than in the past." But in noting the restrained reactions of more traditional conservatives, he offered this caution to those suggesting that libertarianism is gaining widespread support with the GOP. "I think a number of people who are conservative are somewhat troubled by the images coming out of there," he said. "I don't think that's indicative of a broader trend among conservatives that is less pro-law enforcement. I think it's to the specifics of what has happened in Ferguson." So what he's saying here is basically, you know, it's only because of what's happened in Ferguson that you've had the conservatives doing this. It's not because people are, you know, becoming more libertarian. He does predict a growing audience for these views, though, particularly among younger Americans. "To be younger and more anti-authoritarian is not unusual," he said. "More younger voters who are conservative are fine with legalization of marijuana and are fine with gay marriage. The strength of the libertarian movement is within the Republican Party will be tested more significantly if Paul seeks the presidency in 2016. But at this moment, its advocates are making their voices heard. They're not the largest force by any means," Weiner said, "but they're more influential than they have been in the past. And you're seeing some of that in the reactions to what's going on in Ferguson." Well, yes, Mr. Weiner, but remember, it does not take a majority to succeed, but a keen, irate minority eager to set brush fires in the minds of men. That's a little paraphrase there from my buddy Patrick Henry. But isn't that exciting, ladies and gentlemen? Don't you feel as if we're winning, like we're making progress? You know, every day I see signs everywhere that we are making good progress in this country, advancing our commonly shared beliefs, advancing our priorities, our ideas about limited government and economic freedom and personal liberty. Doesn't this make you happy? Well, today's Friday, so I guess there's no reason not to be happy. It's a beautiful day outside here in Washington, D.C., or I'm just outside of Washington, D.C. I would never live in that city. But I just wanted to say thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Do me a favor, ladies and gentlemen, if you really like this show, go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and actually go to Apple, leave us a good review on iTunes. That's a great way to help us out. And if you do us a favor, also you can just subscribe to us. Just hit that subscribe button. Download us every single day. I really appreciate you listening to the show. Please come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.